Father, we thank you so much for what you have been showing us this weekend about the world to come, about our heavenly homeland, about the unshakable kingdom where we will dwell for all eternity with you. We thank you for this time now to think about how we can be setting our minds on the new creation, on our true home day to day. Please would you strengthen and equip James as he comes to speak to us now. We pray that this session would be really practically useful for our day to day lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
How do Christians grow, become mature? How do we effectively fight sin? Grow in love of Christ and others. How do we stay safe, not get tricked by false teachers, nor Satan's lies? How do we rejoice in our Lord? Deal with disappointment and despair, without disappointment and disaster, without despair. Well, I'm sure we'd all want all of those things. And we'll look at the passages in a moment, but I think they are all things that God says can be achieved by doing just one thing. I think the Bible says that every one of those things is achieved by setting our minds on Christ, or what we might call meditating on Christ. Or let me give you another way of thinking about it. Let me ask you, how often have you been frustrated by what seems like a missing link? A missing link between reading the Bible, understanding truths about Christ, and really rejoicing in him, really being devoted to him. A missing link between turning up to church and real zeal for the gospel. How often have you longed to better make that jump? Well, there are a number of reasons why Christians might struggle with that jump. But I think it is true that the Bible's principal answer to that missing link, not the only answer, but the principal answer, is setting our minds on Christ, is meditating on the gospel. I've got an illustration for this, which is pretty much entirely here just as a memory aid. But you might say that meditation gets you from cheddar to Stilton. It's the Bible's method to mature us. Leah told me the illustration was too cheesy, but you just might remember it. Anyway, more seriously, what is the aim of this final session? We've learned wondrous things about the new creation this weekend. And so we're spending this final session thinking a bit more about an outbox, something to go away and do differently. And that outbox is setting our minds on the new creation, meditating on it. But I suspect that for many of us, meditation is a bit of an odd word. Frankly, it sounds a bit Buddhist. It's just not a category that we're used to thinking in. So before we get to meditating on the new creation, we're going to do a bit of groundwork on what meditation is more generally in the Bible. Of course, one happy consequence of that is that it'll build this general category of meditation in our minds, and hopefully it'll get us meditating on Christ more widely for many years to come. Or at least that's my prayer. But in the first instance, we want to meditate on the new creation. Well, I'm going to speak for about half an hour with discussion time built in, and then we're going to have a go at actually meditating ourselves before lunch. So, first point, point one on the handouts. What do we mean by meditation? Well, I want to be clear as we begin this that I'm no expert on meditation, and actually not especially good at meditating myself. And so what we're going to start by doing is just looking through a bunch of the key passages together and building from there. So it's on the handouts. In twos and threes, have a look through those passages and ask, what does God want us to do with our minds and how important is it? I'm going to give a decent amount of time for this, but there are quite a lot of passages, so move relatively speedily. And I think we'll say this half of the room start at the bottom and move up. This half start at the top and move down, so we cover all the passages. Great, I think we will come back together there. As long as you've done a few of them, you'll get some of the idea at least. Great, let's come back together. So, what are some of the big things? Any feedback? What are we told to do with our minds? Yep. Which passages are you thinking of?
Colossians.
Yes. Yeah. And it's interesting, that's a really key point in a letter, in the middle there, and very significant command. Any other things?
See that mind is both in Romans to serve mind and the Psalms and so on. It's exactly seeking out knowledge of God.
Yeah. It's a very intentional sort of really seek it, really go for it. Yeah.
Renew our minds.
A sort of a transformation idea as you meditate, you change. Yeah. Where are we? What is meditation in the Bible? Well, you see on the handout, I've written a working definition of what meditation is. I really don't think... Let me just find where I am, my notes. I really don't think it's the perfect definition, but it'll give us something to work with. So what I've written is this. Meditation is intentionally reminding ourselves of and chewing over the truths of God's word. So do we shape our mindset around it? So we're trying to get some of that intentionality, like you're saying over here, some of the really chewing on it, meditating ideas, and some of the transformation ideas of like Romans and Colossians. Intentionally reminding ourselves of and chewing over God's word. So do we shape our mindset around it? Of course, it's worth realizing at this point that that's a really simple thing. We're just talking about thinking about Jesus, just setting our minds intentionally on what Christ has achieved for us. That said, it can be a little bit difficult to work out what it looks like in practice. So we're going to ground it briefly by looking at those two Psalms. So first, can you get Psalm 77 open in front of you? I think it's going to be worth being able to see it. Psalm 77, trying to ground it a bit more. What actually is meditation in real life? Well, in verse 1 to 4, the psalmist is at a particular point of crisis in his life and has left him seriously anxious. It's late at night, insomnia reigns, and his head is spiraling. Even thinking about God in verse 3, that only causes him more pain. I suspect that we've all had moments like that. So what does he do? Well, verse 5 to 6, he sets himself to meditate on God's word. Verse 6 to 9, he poses his question, will the Lord spurn me forever? Has he abandoned me finally? And then verse 10 to 20 is his answer. He sets himself to remember the mighty acts of God in Scripture. For him, he remembers the Exodus. For us, it'd be like remembering the cross. Yes, he feels abandoned by God, but he forces his mind to the cross. The God of the cross could never abandon me. So he preaches to himself. That's one thing that meditation could look like. At a random point of crisis decision, or just any moment in your life, setting ourselves to remember the truths of God's word and bring them to bear on our situation. But then one more example, because it's a little bit different. Flip with me to Psalm 119. Again, it'll be useful to have it in front of you, I think. Psalm 119, verse 9 to 16. What does meditation actually look like? Well, here it's a bit different. It's no moment of crisis. It's more just everyday life, everyday habits, a way of living, a way of life, verse 9, that keeps the young man pure, presumably would keep us pure. And what does it look like? Well, it looks like meditating on God's word. Verse 11, storing it up in our hearts. Verse 13, declaring it constantly to ourselves and others. Verse 16, delighting in it. This is less recalling God's truth when in crisis, and more just having a life saturated with it. Waking up in the morning and reading scripture. Sitting on the tube on our commute and chewing over what we read. Taking our lunch break and delighting again on the reflections we made on the tube. Pausing before dinner to share it with a flatmate. Stopping before bed to memorize a key verse. Of course, that is one picture of an ideal. Life is messy and we're all different. But it's a helpful example. What is biblical meditation? It's intentionally reminding ourselves of and chewing over the truths of God's word so we shape our mindset around it. Now, just very quickly, before we reach our second point and another break for discussion, I want to clarify two things that we might otherwise get a bit hung up on. We're at the bottom of point one on the handout, the clarifications. First, if you've heard a lot about Eastern meditation, well, what we're talking about here is pretty much entirely different. Biblical meditation is not about emptying our minds, but about filling it with something specific, filling it with the gospel. Not emptying our minds, but filling them with the gospel. Second, it's just possible that this all sounds quite cerebral and academic, a sort of thinking thing. Well, the Bible does really care about our minds and how we think. But not in a sort of cold logic, coldly academic sense. No, we are talking about setting our hearts and minds on the gospel. Setting them ablaze with it. This is a mind thing, but not in a coldly academic sense. In a setting our hearts and minds on fire sense. Well, let's take stock. We're building towards meditating on the new creation. But first, we need to do some groundwork on meditation in general. And so to that end, we've talked about what meditation is. Now on to why we should do it. Well, hopefully, now we've looked through those passages, this won't need as long. But a two-minute discussion, same people as before. Remind yourself of why it was important in those passages. So the second question from that discussion before. Great, should we come back together there? So why is how we use our minds important? Why is meditation important? Thoughts?
The mind is on the correct things, then you're more likely to go in the right way.
Yeah. Really helpful. Other things?
Basically, it's a good workout for your mind. Help you to fully alert and sober.
Yeah, where are you looking? Where are you getting that from?
That was from 1 Peter.
Yeah. Is that where he uses the training words, doesn't he? It's like going to the gym, isn't it? Yeah. It's very physical. Any other things? Yeah, that's really helpful. Yeah. And the specific thing in 119 of the, this is how a young man can keep his way pure. This is how we can fight sin. Yeah. Great. Well, all really helpful things. I think this is where I got to. I think that the basic reason why setting our minds on Christ, why meditating on Christ is so, so important, is that it is the basic medicine that the Bible prescribes for Christian growth. Meditation is the basic medication that God prescribes for growth. The core answer to how we fight sin how we grow in love for Christ and each other, how we grow in devotion to Christ, grow in confidence of our salvation, in zeal for evangelism, how we stay safe till the end. The core answer that the New Testament gives us is setting our minds on Christ, who he is, and what he's achieved for us. I think we see that all over the New Testament, but perhaps Romans 12 and Colossians 3 would be the two most obvious ones that we looked at. Again, it's way too silly an example for a serious point, but it is memorable. Meditation is how we get from Cheddar to Stilton. It is the Bible's basic method for maturity. And as we said, we might want to add to that that meditation is not only the basic method for maturity, but also for dealing with disappointment in Psalm 77, for staying pure in Psalm 119, for staying safe, fruitful, and joyful in Philippians. We could go on. Why should we meditate on Christ? Because setting our minds on Christ, meditation is the basic medication that God prescribes for growth. And it's worth reflecting briefly that that is not really a surprise. We're talking about reminding ourselves of the truths of the gospel, reveling in what Christ has achieved, glorying in God's word. Of course, that's the basic job of a Christian and a basic medicine for growth. Well, let's finally think about the new creation. If you're following on a handout, we're just getting to the second half of the second point. Why meditate on the new creation? Well, the most obvious reason is because we're told to. If we think back over those passages, Philippians 3, that is very specifically about the new creation. 1 Peter 1 is also specifically the new creation. Colossians, kind of the risen Christ, but it's the risen Christ who is going to return. We're told to meditate on the new creation. We're told that to meditate on Christ is the key to our growth. But one specific aspect of Christ's work that we are told again and again to meditate on is the hope he wins us of the new creation. And again, it's worth stepping back and saying, of course that's the case. Of course we want to meditate on the new creation. We have had the joy of spending a weekend talking about the new creation, and it is wonderful. The new creation is the heart of what Christ wins for us, our eternal future free from pain, free from sin, free from death, relationship with God forever. It is the object of our hope, the centerpiece of our faith. Of course we want to meditate on the new creation. It's our highest joy, our greatest privilege. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Point three, how do we meditate? Now, as we start this point, I want to recognise that I think instinctively, I tend to think that this is my issue. That I don't really understand how to meditate, and otherwise I'd do it loads more. Well, that may be the case sometimes, but I suspect that actually, usually, our issue is more of the why than the how. We don't really see how important it is. We don't understand why we need to meditate, and so we lack the oomph to get on and do it. If we really saw how important it is, how life and death it is, if we had that oomph, well, we'd probably figure out how easily enough. But let's say that you are convinced. You're eager to go and revel in your new creation hope. Well, what might that look like? Well, first off, and this is intentionally first, we need to pray. Pray for God's help. Why? Because we need it. Pray. Pray now that we'd set a habit of meditation. Pray whenever you start to meditate. Pray whenever you finish. Pray whenever you get distracted. We need God's help, so we need to pray. But beyond that big tip, I've got three other tips that I think are sort of relatively helpful. So we'll work through them now. By the way, these tips are largely taken from this book called True Devotion by Alan Chappell. He has a great little chapter on meditation as the missing link in our spirituality towards the end. I've only actually got one copy, but they sell them at the back of church. So do go find them at 6 p.m. if you want to think more about this. But for now, three key tips based partly on his book. Number one, be intentional. The whole idea of meditation in the Bible is that we break our normal thought processes to intentionally spend time thinking about Jesus. So we need to be intentional about finding ways to slow down and spend time daydreaming about Christ. I've got just a random list of ideas of ways you might do that I'm going to share now. So first, you may find it helpful when you come to a Bible passage to take it literally one word at a time or one tiny section at a time. Dig for treasure in every word just to force yourself to spend time. Second, Alan Chappell suggests having a list of questions that you ask of every passage that you come to. Again, just to slow you down. You can find his list if you want in that book, or you can just write your own. Third, I find listening to good Christian songs are a wonderful way to emotionally engage with a truth you've just seen. And there are loads of great songs available on Spotify. But to be honest, all of those ideas are slightly boring. You could be way more creative. Fourth, if you're a slightly more creative type, you could, I don't know, draw something, paint something as a reflection on a passage to let your heart catch up. If you're more relational, you could talk to a friend about it, or even just imagine explaining it to someone. Really, you can do pretty much whatever you like. Just be intentional in finding a way to make yourself slow down and really chew over God's word. Second tip, take it personally. When you do think over God's word, don't leave it out there as interesting facts about God or the world. Take it to yourself. Think about why it matters to you. Like the psalmist earlier, you might learn a truth about God in a passage. Well, how does that actually comfort or challenge you? Or you might read of the new creation as a place of free from pain or sadness. Well, what does that mean to you? What are you longing to be free from, longing to be healed of? Or Isaiah, he pictures the new creation as a feast. Well, imagine a feast. What food do you wish would to be there? Of course, in all of this, remember to apply it properly. Don't twist the Bible, but don't leave it out there. Take it personally. Third tip, meditate in all of life. Now, for most of us, it will be helpful to set aside a specific time to meditate on God's word in a sort of quiet time routine. But in the Bible, meditation is also fundamentally a whole of life thing. Both in normal, everyday life, like Psalm 119, and at points of crisis or decision, like Psalm 77. So this third tip is to keep coming back to your meditation. Don't just do a quiet time in the morning and forget about it. Intentionally remind yourself of it during the day. If you thought about your heavenly feast in the morning, well, remember it when you have your mediocre lunch later. If you thought about the end of disease and death, well, remember that promise when you hear a siren go past later. If you thought about God's amazing faithfulness, trustworthiness, well, remember that when you feel insecure that evening or wake up anxious in the night. So there are three tips. Be intentional, take it personally, meditate in all of life. Now you'll notice that despite being three, those tips don't alliterate, which is a shame really. Fortunately, they do make an acronym, IPA, Intentional Personal All of Life, IPA. So you can remember that next time you have an ale at the pub. Intentional, take time to really chew over it. Don't just skim read. Personal, take it to yourself. Don't leave it out there. All of life, keep coming back to it. Don't leave it in your morning routine. IPA. Well, now, if you could pick up those booklets that were on your chair when we came in. We want to pray that we would build lifelong habits of meditating on Christ in all our lives. But these booklets contain 2 weeks of sort of guided meditations that should help us to set that habit to then continue ourselves. So if you open them up to the first page, and I'll explain how they work. So each day has a particular passage about the new creation, and it has a short 50-minute exercise to sit down and, well, get us to be intentional about slowing down and really chewing over the passage. It then has a suggestion as to how we might come back to the passage during the day to make sure we're doing it in all our lives. There's then a song and some questions for further thinking, if you want. Well, what have we seen? Meditation. Well, really, it's just thinking about Jesus. And it is the basic medication for growth. So let's have a go. Great, so what we're going to do now, we've got half an hour. We're going to find a place where a bit of quiet, a bit of peace and quiet. And we're all going to have a go at that first day in that booklet on Revelation 21. And then once you've spent 15 minutes, 20 minutes thinking about it, why don't you find someone in your group and just chat about how you found it? And then at 15:15, we're coming back together for a Q&A. But before we do that, let me pray. Father, we know that you have given us a wonderful salvation and an amazing hope in the new creation. So we pray, Father, that you would help us to set our minds on it. Pray that we would all be meditating on your word in all our lives. Pray that we would set these habits for many years to come. Pray that you'd help us now as we go and have a go now, that we would really enjoy meditating on Revelation 21. Amen.